Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Appreciate you listening and joining us each and every day. We're delighted to have with us Ray Pritchard, who's in studio. Ray's usually in Dallas, where his home base is, but he's in Tupelo today. Good morning, Ray.
Usually I'm upstairs in the spare bedroom of my house in Dallas. And actually, I have a little setup up there in the closet in my upstairs bedroom. So it's good to be out of the closet and here in the studio.
I know. I was going to say out of the closet, but you said it for me.
Well, good to have you.
Thank you, Tim. Good to be here.
Face to face. And you don't have any wires to fix or phone
lines. Right.
If anything goes wrong here in our studio, you don't have to worry about fixing it.
I wouldn't touch anything here.
Walker Wildman, good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
All right, Walker, what are you going to be handling over there for us today?
Yes, we are live streaming on Facebook. So if you want to watch the show and see Dr. Pritchard in studio, which you don't
wave at everybody,
often,
Ray, Dr. Ray Pritchard.
Hey,
then you can go to Today's Issues Facebook page and do that. Also, you can comment on the show. Lastly, all the news articles that we'll discuss here will be there. Will be posted on Today's Issues Facebook page.
Today's Issues Facebook page. We have a lot of folks who watch and comment there. Appreciate the kind words and the constructive criticism that comes every once in a while there. We do have some time to time. Like, I think yesterday or the day before, I was looking at the comments, and they said, let Fred talk. They said, and by the way, let me introduce Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. See, I talk.
Fred's news director for American Family Radio and also OneNewsNow.com. They didn't say let Fred talk to him, but I know what they were talking about because I was talking and you were trying to talk and I took over right there. So
we were shocked. We were shocked.
I know.
Shocked to hear this.
I know. I have to tell myself sometimes, and I'm not. I usually don't dominate conversations or try not to because nobody likes to be around that guy, right? But then I get to talk, and next thing I look up, it's been 4 minutes, you know, and I've been talking. Like right now, I've been going about 45 seconds. There are some people thinking, get on with the show. Tim, quit. You like to hear yourself talk, do you? Okay. All right, Fred Jackson.
Talk.
Something going on in the heart of Dixie today?
Yeah, there's a story in Alabama today. It is the big day, December the 12th. We've been talking about it for a long time. It is here. The polls are open.
Finally.
A special Senate election. Republican Roy Moore, Democrat Doug Jones. And so many facets to this. I guess today, and this is what democracy is all about, the voters of Alabama will decide. Despite all the accusations being made against Roy Moore, Doug Jones getting very favored coverage from the mainstream media.
Really?
Just the opposite for Roy Moore.
Huh. I noticed that.
I mean, who knew?
Yeah.
I noticed that. Hey, by the way, on that, you know, whoever wins today in Alabama, the Democrat Doug Jones or the Republican Roy Moore, I do think, and I'm thinking about this because I'm going to have to stick with this if Doug Jones wins. I think Roy Moore will win. I don't know by what margin, probably 3-5%. And this is unofficial. I haven't done a survey. But I will say this. The people in Alabama who go to the polls today, they know they're closest to the ground on all this campaigning and all these stories that have gone on. Would you say?
Oh, yeah.
They're closest to the ground. So if they make the judgment, the voters of Alabama today, if they make the judgment by a majority, Ray, that Judge Moore is the person they want to send to Washington, D.C., they've already baked in
Right.
Everything that's right. been said or accused. And everybody's had to come to a lot of this stuff. You've had to come to your own conclusion based on the information you have
right.
available. So I would say the people of Alabama will speak today. And guess what? They know everything the Washington Post knows.
Right.
And more, probably.
That's right.
Because they're on the ground. These are Alabamians. They've known Roy Moore for 4 decades, pretty well, whatever. How long he's been in public life? Maybe not that long, but 30 years probably anyway. State Supreme Court Justice. So there you go. They'll factor all that in as they go to the polls.
Well, here's how close it is. According to Real Clear Politics, the last three polls, Monmouth had it tied. Fox News had Jones up by 9, and the third one had Roy Moore up by 10, which just shows you the pollsters are as clueless as everybody else.
Yeah, I was talking to a fellow by the name of Rick Shafton, who he travels the country during election season and has a company that polls. And he was really involved in the Mississippi race in 2014. I talked to him yesterday, and he said that his firm did – 3 or 4 different polls over the past, over late last week. And he said they were getting, the numbers were just all over the place. He said one would have Judge Moore up 10 points. One would have Jones up 18 points. He said, we just shut it down. He said, because there's something going on something about the last week of an election where the polls are just so all over the place. So I don't know whether Fox's poll is right or, Mammoth.
We won't know till tonight, will we?
Yeah, you'll know tonight which polls were the most accurate.
And when are we going to, just to make a note of our programming here, this evening here on American Family Radio, we're going to interrupt our regular programming, and you and I are going to be doing an update on this race?
That's correct. That's correct. From 9 p.m., 9:05 Central tonight to 9:30 Central, we will have the results for you. Hopefully, we will have election results during that 30-minute window. So tune in to American Family Radio on your internet device or on your radio dial and listen to the election coverage.
And just might add, too, we'll be having updated newscasts throughout the evening. The polls close at 7 o'clock Central. As you say, by 9 o'clock, we should have the results. We're watching today, during the day, the turnout because Alabama has been a Republican state for years and years and years. And the push on the Democrat side, they had robocalls going for the Democrat yesterday, Jones, from former President Barack Obama, former Vice President Joe Biden, going into Alabama. They had a big rally last night. And by the way, Judge Moore had a big rally last night, but I think it wasn't Judge Moore's speech that stole the show. It was his wife, Kayla Moore. And along with the allegations and accusations of sexual immorality of various types against Judge Moore, he's also been accused of being a racist. Apparently, he's also been accused of being an anti-Semitic. So she addressed
it. He had that well for 38 years.
Yeah.
Didn't
yeah.
he?
Who knew?
Who knew?
Right. Who knew?
Yeah.
But last night, you know, we have not heard a lot from Kayla Moore, his wife, during this campaign. But last night, she took to the floor, and it was no holds barred. Let's have a little listen to her speech.
Fake news would also have you think that my husband doesn't support the black community. When he first took office as Chief Justice many years ago, he brought with him 3 people from Etowah County. 2 were black. And one of them is here tonight. We have many friends that are black, and we also fellowship with them in church and in our home. Fake news would tell you that we don't care for Jews. I tell you all this because I've seen it all, so I just want to set the record straight while they're here. One of our attorneys is a Jew. We have very close friends that are Jewish and rabbis, and we also fellowship with them. Fake news. They are the ones that are embarrassing. And they should be ashamed for getting involved in this election for our opponent. We have been invaded, our town, our community, our church, our family, our records, our friends, to include every person that we have ever known. So I'm going to ask you, have they done this to our opponent?
No.
This is a federal election, and in my opinion, they should be held accountable.
So no question where she stands on the media. And the media has been a big story in this election campaign, no question about it.
By the way, am I the only one that noticed that she talks like Roy Moore? Except, obviously, it's a feminine voice, but they talk. They almost have the same cadence.
Sure.
They almost have, well, obviously, they lived together a long time, been married a long time.
She's probably heard many of his speeches.
And they're probably from the same, sure. Well, they are from the same neck of the woods.
That's right.
But I just, the cadence of the...
The cadence was the same. That's right.
Anyway, what were you going to say?
Well, she just nailed it. She got out in front of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Boom, 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 fake news.
Yeah.
I mean, that was more powerful than anything he could say last night.
And I saw the video of this speech, and she did a Donald Trump. If you saw President Trump Friday night in that Pensacola rally, he kept pointing to the back of the room, which is where you have that bank of media people. She did the same thing. She was pointing to them last night. Yeah. So she's right out there. She's not intimidated by the media at all.
No, no, he ought to... Judge Moore, should he win, he ought to hire her as his press secretary, like Sarah Huckabee.
Yes.
Sarah
Huckabee Sanders.
Sanders for President Trump.
Yeah.
There's another.
Yeah.
She doesn't take any prisoners.
If you call a woman a pit bull, is that okay?
It's okay here.
I think it's fine.
I think Sarah's a pit bull.
She it's a compliment.
It's yeah. a,
she's,
I mean, tough.
She's a lady pit bull.
She doesn't take anything off anybody.
Yes, she's a lady pit bull.
That's
she's
right.
a pit bull nonetheless.
Her daddy's mighty proud of her.
That's
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I were President Trump, I'd keep her.
Yeah.
And she's getting more and more comfortable. She, you know, anybody would be intimidated by that job.
Beginning.
It took her a few weeks, some months to get comfortable and adjusted. Now she's got command of the of the room. And anyway, hey, we're going to change topics right now and talk to our good friend, Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. Who's heard weekends here on American Family Radio with the show Cross Examined. And Frank joins us most Tuesdays from Charlotte, NC area. How you doing, Frank?
Howdy, brothers. I noticed one thing she didn't mention. She didn't say that she worships a Jew.
Who's that? Kayla? And
Mrs. Moore.
Yeah.
She could have said that, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm following you now.
Are you with me?
No, I wasn't. I was a little slow.
Are you with me?
No,
evidently not.
Hold on a second, Frank. Did anybody get that?
I got it. I got it.
You got it? Why come y'all didn't speak up?
I was waiting for you. You're the leader. We're following you.
Yes, we're waiting for the Facebook comment now.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I got
that was good, Frank. That was good.
Well, you know, she doesn't. She does kind of have an Alabama accent. If she had like a North Carolina accent, where I'm from, like or the Billy Graham accent, she would have said something like, "So I told Franklin to come over."
That's good.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've mentioned this before, but I've traveled so much, and I know Ray and Frank can attest to this too. I've traveled so much, and I've talked to so many people on the phone over the years, especially related to our tours, who have questions. So I'll get on the phone and talk to people myself and answer questions and so forth. And I can tell dialects now. I can almost tell whether you're from East Tennessee or Lower Alabama or Michigan.
Well, if you're East Tennessee,
Michigan,
and you're
or
Memphis,
Iowa,
those are two completely different.
Yeah,
right?
they're both in the South, but they have they say words differently.
That's right.
Same thing. I can tell if somebody's from North Illinois, or if they're from Indiana.
Sure.
Even though that's both in the Midwest, you can tell if you've been around enough people.
Right.
The little changes in the way they say things.
How about New York?
Now we need Ed here to go at the Boston Harvard.
That's right.
At Harvard God. And all that says, I think Ed says in Boston they voted out the R.
Forget about it.
I think that's New York right there. Forget about it.
Unbelievable.
Or Philly. All right, so let's talk about the move by the President Trump to representing the United States government to move the capital of Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Frank, they're not going to do that physically, who knows when, but they did make the announcement, the president did.
Well, you know, you've been there several times. I've been there several times to Israel. Tim, do you know they do have a plot of ground in the Talpot neighborhood just south of the old city for the American embassy in Jerusalem? You've probably been by it. Have you seen that area?
I know where the consulate is. You know,
yeah, they actually have like a block that's just waiting. Yeah. It's vacant.
Ray's been there many times. He knows that.
Yeah, and it's there waiting to be built, okay. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that the two holiest cities in Islam are Mecca and Medina, and Jews are forbidden to go there. The holiest city in Judaism is Jerusalem, and Jews welcome law-abiding Muslims there.
Yeah.
Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So, obviously, from a I was here first kind of ethic. The Jews were in Jerusalem long before Islam was even on the radar map. Of course, Islam comes along in 632 AD, and the Jews had been there for centuries, millennia, and that was their home. That was David's home, the city of David, right there in Jerusalem. And so now there's some sort of controversy as to what the capital of Israel is.
Yeah,
it's always
been
Jerusalem.
Yeah, you know, and it's the Americans who are moving there. The government of Israel has been in been in Jerusalem since the outset.
Since the beginning.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The Knesset's there.
It's sure. Like yeah. Washington, D.C. The Washington, D.C., or the national capital of Israel, has always been in Jerusalem.
Yeah, it would be like the center of our government being in Washington, but everybody had to have their embassy in Baltimore.
Yeah,
you know that's
yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
And what you try to look at things from all different perspectives, and the anger and the rage at the Jews and in Israel. By the rest of the world, for most of the rest of the world, is inexplicable to me. I guess I can understand if you're a Palestinian or Arab who has a family history in Israel, and maybe you were your family was displaced because of the wars that have gone on there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you got a beef. I mean, I remember meeting a gentleman. I had a gentleman. Helped me with one of my tours over there, who was a Arab Christian, and he grew up in Jerusalem, and his family, because of the war in 67, I guess it was displaced. You know, they became refugees, had to go to Jordan, mm-hmm. and because of the crossfire, they were fighting there, and they came back and never got their home back, okay, because the Israelis captured the territory,
right.
Which is what happens in war, right?
Right.
It's not always pretty. It's not always equal. It's not always what you think it should be. But I guess I could understand if you had a beef in that way. Although you're right, Frank, they have citizenship, the Arab Muslims and Arab Christians do. But these outside influences, like Turkey, for example, the Turkish president basically saying, you know, they're child killers there in Israel,
right.
and threatening them, and Iran, Iran like 1,500 miles away, it's just rank anti-Semitism. I wish they would just come out, Ray, and say, we hate Jews, and that's the reason we want to bring down Israel.
Well, and some of them do. Mm-hmm. Some of the mullahs do.
They'll
some,
just say it out
they'll
like
just
that.
Say it, yeah. They'll say it out just like that, right? Mm-hmm. And that just gets brushed under the. I mean. Drive the Jews into the sea. Kill every single one of them.
Yeah. That's pretty clear.
Right.
Is that Hamas? Is that their charter? Mm-hmm. Anyway, Frank, do you think this will settle down? I mean, it'll be over in the next few days, few weeks, in terms of, you know, the outrage of the Arab world, the Muslim world against Israel?
Well, I don't think the outrage is ever going to.
Okay.
Probably quell until the Messiah comes back, mm-hmm. till Jesus mm-hmm. comes back. But this is not only a case with Hamas that they want the extinction of Israel, but as you know, in the madrasas and the schools in Saudi Arabia and other places, they just teach that the Jews are pigs. So it's sort of like, you know, Hamas says, okay, Israel must be pushed into the sea. They have no right to exist. Let's negotiate.
Right.
What?
Right.
Now, you don't negotiate with people that say that. I mean, we as a country, we've right. never negotiated, or at least we say we don't negotiate with terrorists. But apparently that's changed now. Why would you negotiate with people who start with such an extreme position?
The only reason the Palestinians say they'll negotiate is so the U.S. will keep sending them money, all the foreign aid they get.
Yeah, yeah, and look, I was reminded recently that back in President Clinton's time, he apparently had worked out a deal that basically gave Yasser Arafat everything he wanted, and Arafat rejected it. Mm-hmm. Why? Right. Why would Arafat reject? Because, look, if somehow the Palestinians get a piece of Israel and call it their homeland, Arafat's suddenly out of a job. You know, he's since passed on, as you know, but it'd be like Jesse Jackson solving all sorts of race relations. What would he do? Mm-hmm. He sort of has a perverse incentive to keep the grievance going.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and I remember also, you remember when Yasser Arafat died, it was found out he had millions and millions of dollars in Swiss bank accounts.
Yeah, he didn't die a pauper.
No,
but he was a man of the people.
That's right.
You know, who
had
was,
their best interests.
Had their always, best interests. He was representing. It paid him to keep things stirred up.
Sure.
And so that's why you would never want peace, because, as Frank said, you're out of a job. Also, then you would be accountable for what was given you in that peace accord, and you couldn't always blame the Jews or blame Israel on that. What do you think about the spiritual? Is there anything in the Bible about this?
You know, there's plenty in the Bible about this. The problem is, for me anyway, I see so many people in Christianity who I respect immensely who have opposing views on this.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the whole end times. I mean, I know we win in the end. I know God comes back, or Jesus comes back, and we win in the end. So I'm very tentative about making pronouncements about Israel. I think what's certainly true that we need to keep our eyes on, we certainly need to keep our eyes on people rather than merely land. And what I mean by that is we want to ensure that we are trying to bring people to Christ more so than we're trying to bring people to a land. Because God's going to take care of the land thing anyway, right? We've got to make sure that we are not, say, turning a blind eye to Palestinian Christians with blind support for Israel. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see what you're Although the Christian community in Israel, of course, they're in no man's land.
That's right.
Right.
Quite frankly, because they're not really accepted in the Arab, by Arab and Palestinian, we're basically saying the same thing, Muslim community, and they're not really part of the Israeli Jewish community. But anyway,
there seems to be, if I may be so bold to say, there's some sort of demonic element to this. That the only people who are not really accepted there in any capacity, unless they're tourists, are the Christians.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
It seems to me that to a certain extent, the Israeli government is very happy that they have such strong evangelical support here in America, but they frown upon Jews becoming Christians in Israel.
Yeah.
They don't want that to happen. Yeah. You can go evangelize there, but they don't want Jews evangelizing other Jews to become Christians there.
Right. Hey, who are you having on your show this Saturday?
Somebody really exciting. I don't know who it is yet, but it's going to be exciting. It might just be me, so maybe it won't be so exciting. But it's going to be Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central on the American Family Radio Network. Tremendous network, by the way. I don't know if you guys know about it.
Cross-Examined, the show with Dr. Frank Turek.
With a D on the end of it, .org.
What's your website?
Cross-Examined with a D on the end of it, .org.
All right,
there
Frank. Take care, my friend.
You guys as well have a very wonderful Merry Christmas, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
See ya.
Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K there. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Sandy Rios will be with us in just a few minutes.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
The Lord breaking up the human history timeline to invade it by donning an earth suit himself, making up the gap, and being the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Praise be to the Almighty God.
We'll also hear news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. In 2012, Mitt Romney, then the Republican nominee for president, was accused of heinous behavior. As a teenager, he allegedly bullied a gay classmate. There was no proof, only the word of the accuser, backed up by the mainstream media. Mr. Romney was also accused of not paying his taxes, a flat-out lie, but it was reported as the gospel truth. There was no condemnation from fellow Republicans, no calls to step aside for the good of the party. They gave him the benefit of the doubt, because he was one of them, a member of the establishment. Judge Roy Moore is not a member of the establishment. He's a rough-and-tumble conservative facing accusations, much like Mr. Romney did, all unproven, but accepted as the gospel truth. He's become a whipping boy for the Democrats and the never-Trumpers, but not for Alabama voters, who will have their say today at the ballot box, in a state where people are still innocent until proven guilty. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Merry Christmas from Today's Issues.
My second Christmas album there. You can pick it up at the AFAstore.net. AFA Store, just Google. I guess you don't Google the AFA Store. Tim Wildman.
You got a beautiful voice.
Well,
I mean, who knew?
Right? I try.
Who knew?
I try. I'm pretty good at that and golf and several other things, but I don't like to brag.
We don't like to say it.
Yeah, I mean, you brag. People don't like that.
That's right.
You know, but I mean, if you want to.
But if you can do it, you can do it. That's it.
As Yogi Berra said, if you can do it, it ain't bragging.
That's right.
So
he's anyway, right about that.
Yeah. All right. Today's Issues is the program, and I just lied to you people because I don't sing Christmas albums.
I doubt that was a lie because I don't think anybody believed that.
You don't think? Okay. Okay. I feel better about it. I told you a fib.
Do you think any of us four guys are going to release an album anytime soon?
Maybe there's somebody on Facebook wants to order your album there, Tim.
Hey, one time we were doing a show, and this was with Marvin, the late Marvin Sanders. I'm going to tell you all this. This is 20 years ago or so. Marvin and I were doing the show, and somebody was calling in answering a question. I don't know if it was trivia or what it was we were doing. But anyway, we said, if you get this answer correct, you will win. You can either choose from, like, a book by Max Lucado, or you can win. You can win Tim and Marvin sing your favorite Christmas carols.
Oh no!
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! So you always got about 10% of the public that are literalists, aren't
That's right.
We all know them, don't we?
That's right.
I have one of my family members is a literalist. And so they don't get satire. They don't get sarcasm. And so they can't help it. It's not really a fault per se. It's just how
they believe what they hear.
They right? believe what they hear, but God bless them. And so this lady calls in. She answers the question right. She goes, we said, do you want Max Lucado's book? Or you want Tim and Marvin sing your favorite Christmas carols? She goes, I'm going to think I'm taking the Tim and Marvin sing your favorite Christmas carol CD because that you can't find that just anywhere. Yes,
boy, that's true. Like, you can't get that on eBay.
You can get Max Lucado books anytime, that's but right. I want y'all CD where y'all sing your favorite Christmas carols. I don't remember how we handle that.
It's a limited release.
Right. So there's no good way to handle that because if you say, come on, lady, you know, right. all the rest of your listeners go, how you treated her so poorly on the radio. She bless her heart. She thought you had a real Christmas album. So I don't know what we did. I think Marvin and I went to the studio and did about three carols and sent it to her. Can't remember exactly what.
And where is that recording?
Yeah, that's right. That's the question.
That's in our vault.
How deep in the vault is that?
That's in the vault somewhere. Well, all right. Trivia Friday will be Friday here on American Family Radio. But today, Tuesday, we're talking about real stuff in the news. Dr. Ray Pritchard, who's usually joining us from Dallas, is in studio with us today. We're glad to have Ray with us. Walker's manning the Facebook page. So we've got a Today's Issues Facebook page where we live video stream there. You can check out the show, and Walker also posts the stories that we're talking about. Fred Jackson also with us. Sandy Rios joins us now. Sandy, good morning.
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Sandy is.
I can hear me. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, for the ego-minded, I guess that's true. But we all like to hear ourselves talk right. sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association and host of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Each morning, 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time here on American Family Radio. Fred, give the story that we want Sandy to comment on because she's well-versed on this one.
Andrew McCabe is the deputy FBI director. He was supposed to show up today at the House Intelligence Committee to answer some questions of all the goings-on involving the FBI right now. And he sent them a note. Sorry, can't make it. Scheduling error. I won't be able to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to reschedule things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some speculation that he didn't want to talk about some things. One of those being the wife of a high-ranking official who works for the Justice Department. The wife, her name is Nellie Orr, O-H-R. And it turns out, we have found out that Nellie Orr helped put together the so-called anti-Trump dossier. She worked for Fusion GPS. So just kind of...
She's the what now, this
fellow? She's the wife
of this guy?
Of Bruce Orr.
He's a top DOJ official.
Yes.
His office is right down the hall from Rosenstein.
Yeah. So she worked on this dossier... This anti-Trump dossier, the wife of this high-ranking DOJ official. Well, they were anxious to talk about the committee, the House Intelligence Committee, about this. But now we find out that Andrew McCabe, the FBI deputy FBI director, just couldn't make it today. There's just a mix-up in the schedule.
You can't run away from that. You may have a dentist appointment, but you're going to come next week. You're not getting away from us from that. Sandy, what's going on here? This is all about the Robert Mueller... Special counsel, Russia stole the election from Hillary deal, isn't it?
Yes, and I think probably what's happening, and I'm sure Fred knows this. By the way, Fred, I love the way you explain things. You lay them out so carefully. I rattle them off like 10 points in 30 seconds, and nobody can understand what I'm saying. But I think the reason that McCabe is not showing up this morning is because he's not prepared to answer questions about why a top justice official has a wife working for Fusion GPS, which is the company that prepared hired out Christopher Steele, paid for by the DNC and Hillary's campaign, to do opposition research, which was like the National Enquirer, as Jim Jordan said. He's actually a very good descriptor. Dirty, filthy stuff that's got no truth to it. This whole just rotten dossier that John McCain was salivating to receive, which he did, fly over, send his staffer to hand carry it back to the FBI, but the FBI already had it because it looks like the FBI might have paid for part of it and was deeply involved in this dirty dossier themselves. But we did not know until the last few days that a top official in the Justice Department was also complicit with this, and that's Bruce Orr, with his wife who worked for Fusion GPS. So see, connect the dots. So the Justice Department, which is supposed to seek justice blindly, and the FBI, which is associated, they prosecute the crimes, are, it looks like they may likely have been, shall we say, colluding to destroy Donald Trump through this rotten dossier. And by the way, I don't know if you guys heard, the judge who was going to be the judge that was going to hear Michael Flynn's case, remember that Michael Flynn was fired by Donald Trump, and it's so complicated. If I lay it out, it will take me the next 15 minutes. But the judge that was supposed to preside over his hearing has recused himself. And the speculation is that this judge, stay with me, the FISA court is a secret court. The judges that preside, it's a secret who they are. And the idea of a FISA court is that the FBI agents go in with a request signed by the director, thoroughly vetted, usually by the attorney general as well, to get permission to surveil certain people in foreign terrorism investigations. You can't get those warrants unless you have rock solid evidence, unless the FBI director and the attorney general swear there's validity here. We need this warrant. That's how it works. That's how it's supposed to work. Now it looks as though, now this is, there's a modicum of speculation here, so I'm not declaring this, but it looks likely that the judge that just recused himself from hearing Michael Flynn's case is the judge in the FISA court who was presented the phony dossier. So does that make, did I
that
explain it clearly
sense.
Enough?
That makes perfect sense, Sandy. And the gentleman believed to have delivered the application to the FISA court is Mr. Peter Strzok.
That's right.
Mr. Peter Strzok resided over the Hillary Clinton investigation and changed the wording in the final speech by Comey, which let her off the hook. And he also was in the room when they did not put her under oath.
He also was the one that interviewed Flynn.
Right. He interviewed Flynn.
Fire them all.
Right.
Fire them all.
And was part of Mueller's team until recently.
Exactly.
Do you guys, I'm sorry, Walker.
No, I was saying that's the problem. And Mr. Strzok, I believe, also sent the anti-Trump text messages to his mistress.
Who worked for Andrew McCabe, who won't show up this morning.
That's
correct.
So it's more than a dentist appointment.
Yeah, I should say.
You're saying even a root canal won't work.
That's right.
You know what? Another point I'd like to make, because I want to make sure you guys know about this and our listeners know about this. When General Flynn was interviewed by the FBI, it happened twice. The first time was the day after he got into the office. It was his like second day on the job. And they had been working, meaning the Trump presidency and General Flynn had been working with the FBI to secure the facility, to work out security measures. So they had been coming in frequently and they had built, you know, some sort of a cordial back and forth. So they called General Flynn in his office, Andrew McCabe did, and said, there'll be a couple of agents over, and they're at the gate. Can you let them in? And General Flynn is thinking, oh, you know, it's more of the same. We're talking about security. But when they got into his office, he realized they were there to interrogate him. They didn't warn him. He wasn't able to get an attorney. Now, he could have said, I'm not talking. He didn't do that. That would have been the smartest thing to do. But that's how they sideswiped him. He was a member of Trump's team. He was the national security advisor, and they had the audacity to blindside him like that. And the second time they, I may be confused, that might be the second time, one of the times, I think maybe it was before this, the first time, they called him. He was on vacation with his family in the Dominican Republic. And they had the transcript of his conversation with the Russian ambassador. And he didn't know that. But they had it in front of them. They had all the words and everything. And they began to ask him detailed questions about what he said. Now, they didn't warn him they were going to do that. He didn't have an attorney. He was with his family vacationing. And so they blindsided him. And part of what I'm understanding is that he did not actually lie. In fact, there are, I wish I could cite the exact document that I just read recently, publicly stated that he did, I think it was an FBI agent who said he did not lie. He was unsure about some of the details and maybe not as exact as they would have liked, but he didn't have anything in front of him. No. And they did. They had the unbeknownst to him, they had wiretapped his conversation based on the phony dossier.
Yeah. So this is a, I tell you what, this is so bad, this whole thing. And Robert Mueller, is that the gentleman's name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has all these people on his team that hate Trump, that are pro-Hillary Clinton. They go to Clinton rallies. They give money to Hillary Clinton. The star witness for Robert Mueller is James Comey, basically, one of the primary witnesses. They're pals.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to have, by law, I read this, you're, by statute, you're not supposed to be connected to your star witness, basically. Yeah, I mean, it's clearly forbidden in the written statute.
Right.
And this whole thing, Sandy, is the deep state, the leaks. This whole thing's been going on since day one. This is an agenda to try to get to cut off President Trump at the knees, and or get him impeached, or send a lot of his people out because of scandal based on Russian collusion, and it's politically driven. Greg Jarrett's probably written the best article on this available. He's a legal commentator from Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have that.
Yeah, I can post that.
Walker will put that on our Today's Issues Facebook page. But, Sandy, last question. Do you think what can be done about this? Because if I were the president, I'm thinking I would fire Robert Mueller myself and just list all the reasons that we've just talked about here and say, you can start over. I don't even know if I'd say that or not.
Nope.
I wouldn't say that?
Nope. Okay. There's no, until you find a crime, there's no special counsel.
Okay. But just firing, Father. And what's the worst that can happen? I mean, everybody who are going to hates him now.
Right.
So he's not, the only thing he can get from this is, even if he's fully exonerated, let's say he's fully exonerated on everything, then are you telling me then the Democrats, the Republican establishment, liberal media, then they're going to say, oh, man, we are bad. Donald Trump's a good guy, and he's on the up and up. What do you think, Sandy?
Well, I've said that for a long time, Tim.
That was my idea.
We've talked about
that. Was my idea.
No. But we've talked about it before. Yeah. Why wouldn't he just fire Mueller? Because I think the answer I would have to, the explanation... It's not necessarily, oh, my gosh, don't you know how your computer talks to you without permission? That's mine. Anyway, in Washington, it is truly, truly a bubble, an echo machine, where people talk on national media, but they're really talking to each other, and they're not in touch. And in Washington, in the vortex of Washington, you can't fire Mueller. That would be terrible. That would be terrible. It's because it's terrible inside the Beltway.
Right.
It's terrible to the pundits. It's terrible to some Republican leaders. It's terrible to Trent Frank. I heard him say, what's his name? His hair, silver gray, South Carolina. Who am I talking about?
Trey Gowdy.
Sorry. Yeah, I knew I had the wrong T. Trey Gowdy was saying what a great guy Mueller is. He just said that last week. I heard him say that. What planet do you live on? But they, to each other, oh my goodness, it would be disastrous. The Senate would be apoplectic. It's, how dare he get rid of Bob Mueller? Why, he's, that would also mean that they were wrong, wouldn't it? Because they all said what a great guy Bob Mueller was. What integrity. What a perfect choice. And that would be embarrassing, I think, if suddenly. So it's because of the Beltway stupidity, nonsense, that he doesn't fire him.
Yeah,
people around him are convincing him it would be terrible, while the people out in the country are saying, get rid of him. That's just common sense. This is
really lawless.
Last
question, Sandy, and we'll let you go. I think I said last question, but this really is the last question for you on this topic. The FBI, you know, has a stellar reputation, has had a stellar reputation with the American people and the trust of the American people, basically, for its existence. But now it seems to have been politicized for some of the reasons we've mentioned here this morning. And can you recover the reputation? Do you think the FBI's reputation has suffered? And do you think it can be recovered?
I think it's been devastating to the FBI's reputation.
Okay.
Because now you've had two directors, not just one. You've had Mueller and Comey. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, my personal opinion is they have shipwrecked the image of the FBI. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it could be turned around, but it would require purging. You've got to get rid of those people. You've got to get rid of Andrew McCabe and of Peter Strzok and all the many other people whose names we don't know who are corrupt.
They're not being fired. They're being given different offices down the hall.
That's right.
Basically, you know. Exactly. Thanks, Sandy. We appreciate it so much. And
you're welcome, guys. Thanks. Thank you,
Tim. Bye-bye.
It's good to talk to you. Okay, bye.
Sandy is the Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association, and visit her Facebook page, Sandy Rios, R-I-O-S. Sandy Rios in the morning. Yes, Fred.
I think if I was President Trump, I would have one of my best lawyers, who I think is Jay Sekulow, and I would have him come out to a press briefing with the board.
Hmm. Yes.
And you bring all of these names up and you put them on the board. This is what we know about these individuals and how they compromised our judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
I would go right back to that meeting, one of the things, the meeting in the tarmac between then Attorney General Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton, just days before Comey comes out and says, hey, Hillary Clinton, she was a bit stupid, I'm paraphrasing here, but she didn't do anything illegal.
Right.
I would put all of that up there and say, because of that, the president has decided today to fire Robert Mueller. And until, as Walker's point is, until we find some evidence of a crime, this is done.
Yeah.
This is done. The president has been compromised, I think, in the
Doesn't he have the authority? The president does have the authority to fire him, right?
Absolutely.
Sure.
One of the biggest mistakes that was made was by brand-new Attorney General Jeff Sessions in recusing himself. And I'm told he was advised to do this by the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, who is part of the problem, not part of the solution.
You know what Rosenstein did? And I've wrote a 1,500-word piece on this. Rosenstein was a U.S. attorney in Maryland when Uranium One was being investigated. Secretary Clinton lobbied for Uranium One while receiving kickbacks and millions of dollars to her foundation from the same Russians who were going to get the uranium.
Yep.
Guess what Rosenstein did? He charged one person with one count of money laundering, and that guy pled guilty and was let off.
Yeah,
right.
And so Rosenstein has a bad record of participating in the Clinton corrupt machine.
Yeah.
And so Rosenstein comes in and was appointed by President Trump to take Sally Yates' spot, who defied the president's legal executive order. So he comes in and gives Sessions poor advice. And so this guy's part of the swamp too. But he comes in as kind of a, you know, nobody really knows his name. He's got a clean rap sheet. But soon he's responsible for Mueller.
So if he's going to fire Mueller, he needs to fire Rosenstein too at the same time, right?
Yes.
He needs Sessions. Sessions has got to get his act together because this is his department. That really, that's not the president's job per se to fire Mueller and fire Rosenstein. The attorney general needs to step up to the plate and come to the White House and be in the same presentation that you're talking about. And Sessions needs to say, I'm taking back control of my department.
But he's already recused himself. Can he unrecuse?
He can unrecuse himself. Yeah. Greg Jarrett said
But lay it out for the American people. Right. That's why I say, put
that's
it up
a
on
point.
A board.
Right.
Lay it out for the American people because they are not getting this.
Right.
It's complicated, as we were just talking to Sandy. It's complicated. You got to see it.
Right.
Up there for people to understand. And I go back to what Mike Huckabee said. We've been calling it a swamp. No, he says a swamp has ecological benefit.
Right.
It's a sewer.
It's a sewer. Right.
It's a sewer.
Right. Sewer. Yeah.
What happened was the Justice Department of this nation was politicized by Barack Obama. Loretta Lynch, it's all politics.
Eric
it's
Holder
dirty
too.
Politics.
Right.
Attorney General Holder, you name it. It's a mess, and I think I lay it at Jeff Sessions' feet, the Attorney General of the United States. It's time to clean it up.
You mean not the mess that's there. You mean you lay it at Jeff Sessions' feet, the
to clean it up.
Clean it up, right. Clean it up.
Obviously, if that happened, there would be an unbelievable explosion from the left. But they already hate Trump, right?
Yes, right.
So how could that be any worse?
They can't hate him anymore.
They can't hate him any more than they already do.
But now's the time to do it.
Right.
The longer you wait, the closer you get to 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You
got
to do it now.
Yeah.
You take the bullets from the media.
Don't do it next
and you move
September.
No.
And here's another aspect to this. Some will say, well, then the House and Senate will open up investigations. They've already done that.
Yes.
Under Republican leadership, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan have allowed Republicans to investigate their own president. That's what they're doing right now. They're investigating their own president. So it's like you said, Ray, there's nothing else that could happen. I'll tell you what it'll be. It'll be a week maximum of wall-to-wall coverage of obstruction of justice, blah, 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 and then it'll all be gone.
Yep.
Then there'll be something else.
It'll be another news story, and it'll all be gone.
Is there any political argument against that? Why doesn't the president do this? Where's the lack of will in this case?
I tell you what, we all have seen President Trump operate since he announced he was running. He is... He's the kind of guy that will reach his limit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll say fake investigation.
Right.
I do think, to Fred's point, it would do him well, the president. I mean, his sort of, regular guy, let it fly.
Right.
Commentary.
Right.
It is good for a lot of people. But this is a situation that requires somebody like Jay Sekulow, his attorney, to do a serious explanation in a public press conference. Take you about 20 minutes if you need to lay this out, 15, 20 minutes. Jay Sekulow is good at that. Maybe even have a Ross Perot chart behind you. Mm-hmm. But what we've talked about here and what Sandy's talked about, this is bad. This stinks so bad. This whole thing. I wouldn't have a problem with the president being investigated had there been something truly wrong here. For me, my level is: did the Russians change the voting machines in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Ohio?
Well, and did President Trump have anything to do with it?
He had anything to do with it? Right. No, he didn't. Right. No, he didn't.
Zero evidence.
Right. They didn't change the voting,
right.
And he didn't have anything to do with it. And I've said this, and I mean this in a respectful way, President Trump and his team was not smart enough to negotiate with the Russians how to change the election. That's just silly. It's absolutely silly.
Right. Right.
And that's why they can't find anything yet. And as Ed said, the second option was the president to come out and say, short of firing Mueller, say, hey, you got till February 1. If you ain't got anything, then I'm shutting down your office. Call it that if you want to. In other words, put a time limit on this fishing expedition. But the fact that Robert Mueller, special counsel, can get away with having James Comey, his pal, as the star witness in this case, when that's forbidden by statute,
right.
is amazing to me. And that's just one thing that Jay Sekulow could point out for example. All right, we're going to take a That what you described is more complicated than a Tom Clancy novel.
But it's well orchestrated. It's not by incident.
It's not
by accident.
Is it part of the deep state?
Yes, it's a well orchestrated plan that they had
to take out
President Trump.
Take out President Trump, or at least cut him off at the knees, where he can be totally ineffectual at being president. All right. I'm glad that Trump has Jay Sekulow as his lawyer. We're going to take a short break right here. Hopefully we won't be investigated by the FBI in the next 5 minutes. And we'll be back with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.